Hey everyone, welcome back for another week of the Fantasy Pros Baseball Podcast. This week in baseball, Madison Bumgarner fell off a dirt bike and Eric Thames hit his 10th homer of the season. I'm Bobby Sylvester and here to chat about this and much more with me today is Chris Meaney of FantasySportsNetwork.com. Chris, how's it going?
I'm doing good, Bobby. Thanks for having me back on. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. We really appreciate you coming on. Chris, where can our guests find you on Twitter?
At Chris Meaney, pretty simple. All lowercase, M-E-A-N-E-Y.
Excellent. And if you guys want to follow me on Twitter, it's at BobbyFantasyPro.
Now, Chris, I'll tell you what. I haven't thought about this in probably 5 years, but there used to be this sandwich at KFC called the Buffalo Chicken Snacker. And while I was in college, I thought this thing was delicious.
Yep.
Which means
it was
probably super nasty since I was in college. But I really wanted one today for lunch or maybe like five. It's been gone for almost a decade. I was feeling pretty bummed about this. Then I saw that Cody Bellinger was called up, and I got super pumped.
That's fair. I'm a KFC fan. I like the Big Crunch myself. But for Cody Bellinger, yeah, I mean, people should get excited about this kid. A little bit surprising move. I thought we'd see him this year, but I didn't know if we'd see him this early. But with some of the injuries and then last night him starting in left field for the first time, I know he's played a couple games in center field, and with the injury to Jock Peterson going on the DL, I mean, this guy's a must-add, even in redraft leagues. Power, speed, you don't see it. So excited to see him play.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, this guy is remarkable. He could eventually hit 50 home runs in a season. I know a lot of people are going to get excited and pick him up, and you know what, he probably should be picked up at this point, even if he's just going to be here for 2 weeks. But he's not going to be any kind of all-star right away. I mean, he's still what, 20-21 years old? He has a long way to go. He's been tearing up AAA, but I mean, don't think of him as anything really that much different than Jock Peterson right now. I don't know, maybe if he played a full season he'd hit 25 homers, bat about 250-260. Eventually it's going to come. I'm sure he's already owned in dynasty leagues, but I am really excited. I'll be loading up on DFS. I'm sure he's going to have some high ownership because this is a big-time prospect, but he might have some MVPs in his future.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you're right. His ownership might be high in DFS. A lot of people love the prospects. But yeah, I think even in redraft leagues, you pick him up, you just ride the wave and you see what happens. Maybe he, you know, he hits and he stays, but it's a pretty good profile. What you just talked about with Jock Peterson, probably going to strike out a lot. The average has always been pretty good. At least the past couple seasons, it's been good in a small sample size this year in AAA, but last year, a smaller sample size. This is how good this kid is that he's just kind of went right through the ranks. But yeah, like I said, even in redraft leagues, I pick him up, power, speed, combo in deeper leagues. I mean, this is hard to come by, and I guess we probably should have saw it coming with some of the injuries, like I mentioned earlier with Peterson, and then him going to left field last night, and then here we are. So yeah, it's exciting, man. This kid is for real, and let's see what he can do in the bigs.
Now, Chris, we had another injury in the NL West to a pitcher, and it was to Shelby Miller. He's getting a second opinion on the elbow. When I hear that, it makes me think the first opinion must not have been very good. What are you hearing about Shelby Miller's injury?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you hear a second opinion, someone needing to see another doctor, a second opinion on the elbow, it's not good news. I don't own Shelby Miller anywhere. It's not somebody that I wanted to draft. He was just way too inconsistent for me last season, up and down, and didn't like any of his numbers. So I have some big-time concerns if he was on my roster, and I don't even know if I, being honest with you, I don't even know if I'd wait around to hear the news. It does not look good for Shelby Miller.
I'm with you. I mean, I was telling people to pick him up. He looked like his old normal self, not going to strike out 180 guys, but you know, probably an ERA below 4, win you 10 or 11 games, and that's worth owning in a 10, 12, 14 team fantasy league. But now I'm just saying drop him. I mean, I don't want to wait around 10 days at the very least, maybe a full year to find out what the news is here. So I don't think Shelby Miller's worth owning at this point. And it's a disappointment. There's just been so many injuries this season.
Yeah, there have been a lot of injuries, and you know, some, you know, top 30 pitchers not performing like top 30 pitchers to start the season. So it is concerning, and I understand where you're coming from with the strikeouts. I mean, he's always been able to strike guys out, especially earlier on in his career with the Cardinals. The strikeouts weren't there last year. The ERA was high. I don't love the ballpark that he pitches in, and I guess if you're an owner and you know you can wait around to see what's going to happen, you don't need to drop him right away. But I guess for me, the expectations, not only with this injury, but it just doesn't seem like, I just don't expect a whole lot from him. I guess the question is who's going to step in and who's going to be the guy? I mean, I want it to be Archie Bradley. I want it to be him, and I just don't know if it is. I mean, he's in a comfortable role right now out of the pen, 12K in 11 innings, keeping the ball on the ground, 9K per nine when we saw him in 2016, has struggled with command in the past, not only, you know, in the bigs, but in the minors as well. So I'm excited to see if it's going to be Archie Bradley. And if it is, I think people should roster him.
I think that he should get the job as well. But I think they're planning on using him as the closer. I think it's pretty obvious that Rodney's not going to stick around as the closer past this year. I don't think it's going to last very long because I just don't think he's all that great anymore. I think Archie Bradley can be a very good closer in this league for a long time.
Yeah, I think he can be too, and that's a really good point. Interesting to see what the Diamondbacks want to do with him, and you know, to a point I brought up earlier, is he seems comfortable pitching out of the pen, so if he's going to continue to be this productive, then maybe that's a role he's going to have later on this season. I mean, you're right, Rodney's not great. He's not great at all. He's just given that job because the experience, because he's saved, he's had saves, you know, plenty of them actually in the past, but the command with him is wild, and really just not a lot of upside with him.
So I didn't think we'd be talking about Eric Thames this week. I thought he would just kind of fade a little bit and stop hitting so many homers. We've been talking about him on like every single show, but what are we supposed to do? I mean, you look at all the great seasons in baseball history, 1927 Babe Ruth, 1961 Roger Maris, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds with all their home run seasons. And you know who reached 10 home runs the fastest? It's Eric Thames. Is this for real? Like, is he seriously going to hit 45 homers this year?
I don't think he's going to hit 45. It's funny, last week here at Fantasy Sports Network, I right after the weekend, I think he had the 6 home runs in 5 straight games, and then it was the next day. I'm like, that's it. I'm doing a little bit here on him and how owners should sell high and at least just flirt with the idea of selling this guy. But now it's like, I mean, how could you flip him? How could you trade him for what he's doing? I know 7 of the 10 home runs have been against Reds pitching, and
so that
really,
doesn't really count.
I know, and a lot of them actually, the other ones, John Lackey, I think Tyler Chatwood, and I don't know that other 10th home run, but the majority of these home runs have been off, you know, mediocre pitching, some pretty bad pitching. To say, you know, on the flip side is he hits in a great ballpark. So he already is well on his way to 30, even if he slows down, and he is going to slow down. Pitchers are going to be able to adjust to him. But what he's doing right now is unbelievable. Walking 16% of the time. A lot of people were saying earlier in the year, this guy, you know, he couldn't hit lefties. He's hitting lefties just fine.
Yep.
So he's not in a platoon role. It's very, very impressive what he's doing. I know when he went over to Korea to play baseball, he was the first ever 40-40 guy there. He walked more than he struck out. You know, he learned to, you know, be patient. He saw a lot of off-speed, saw a lot of junk, and that has helped him. It's really kind of changed his game a little bit. So I don't think he's going to hit 45. I think he's a lock to hit 30.
Yep.
But again, if you're a Thames owner, you would be silly not to just flirt with the idea of selling high. What could you get for him? You just have to.
Yeah. I would definitely be trying to trade him right now. And, you know, maybe you won't get the right price, but I don't think there's anybody better in the league to sell high on right now, even if he is going to hit 35 homers, just because everyone thinks, like, this is just a monster coming out of nowhere. And, yeah, he's really good, but probably about the same as what we saw from Trevor Story last year, which is great. Mm-hmm. But I think his trade value is more. So
yeah.
I'm open for trading him. You know, it's really interesting. I don't remember who tweeted this out. I wish I did so I could credit their work. But they explained how one win above replacement is the equivalent of $8 million in value. In the first 3 weeks of the season, Eric Thames has already earned his contract. for three years.
Unreal.
That's incredible.
It really is incredible. And, you know, there were some reports that Milwaukee wanted him 2 years ago and he just played the final year of his deal. And then, you know, they gave him, I think, the $16 million contract in 3 years. And, you know, he's talked about how Milwaukee's so great. He loves beer and loves the beer in Milwaukee. I mean, everything that this guy's doing is fantastic. It's great. And the average is high. Obviously, there's some of the video game-like numbers he's put over in Korea, and the way he's been able to do it over here is nuts. And I'm not saying for people to trade him. I'm just saying flirt with the idea. I mean, you'd be silly not to. That's what fantasy baseball is all about. I mean, it's all about buying low, selling high. So if maybe you have a ton of home runs already. Maybe all your bats are fantastic. This is somebody who wasn't drafted all that early. Flirt with the idea of selling him. Maybe you can get a couple arms for him, but you'd just be silly not to. But what he's doing right now is extremely impressive, and he's certainly the story of baseball right now.
I'd be seeing what it would take to get Corey Kluber. I don't know, maybe Eric Thames and a throw in to get Corey Kluber. That would be an amazing haul for someone drafted in the 17th round.
It's funny you brought that up, because in the video, I did a 5-minute video here at Fantasy Sports Network, and I mentioned Corey Kluber because at the time he had given up 5 home runs. He had an ERA almost 7. And I said, could you get Corey Kluber? Maybe not. Will Corey Kluber turn it around? Absolutely. And then his next start, he has a complete game. So
yeah,
it's probably too late. But that's just an example of playing fantasy baseball and seeing what you could get for a guy like Thames.
So we mentioned Christian Arroyo earlier, just absolutely shredding AAA. He was the best hitter in all of AAA. That includes Cody Bellinger. That includes all these other guys who are top prospects. And Arroyo, to his credit, I mean, he's a top 200 prospect. They think he's probably going to be a solid everyday starter in the major leagues. But to me, I mean, people are going to be picking him up because, look, it's the Giants. They get excited about their young players coming up. And he's been shredding AAA. But this guy is Martin Prado 2.0, as far as I'm concerned. I'm staying away from him.
Yeah, I'm not picking him up either. I've let everybody else grab him. I thought about him in a 14-team league where I have middle and corner, and you know, if he's going to play third, he's going to get that third base eligibility. So that, I guess, he has a plus in deeper formats that use, you know, those, you know, roster spots. But I'm with you. I don't like the ballpark. Yeah, great start in AAA, and in when he was 21 years old, he showed a little bit of power and speed combo, but that was just single-A ball. So I'm not expecting a whole lot from him. I don't expect a lot of power. I think he can struggle to start. I mean, he already went 0-for-4 to start. I know it was just one game, but he did strike out as well. So I'm not huge on him. I think in 12-team leagues, absolutely not, but I think when you can start thinking about him, and maybe people are playing 14, 16-team leagues, but Bellinger, for me, it's night and day between the two.
far and away different. Yeah. You know, and all this negative talk I'm doing about the Giants, it probably means they're going to turn it around and win 95 games, because that's just what San Francisco does. And it's really annoying. It's almost as annoying as the guy who got Eric Thames in your league and is just dominating right now and didn't even know he was going to be great.
I know. And you know, there's somebody in my league just drafted him. He's like, hey, you know, he's a Blue Jays fan. He's like, hey, I remember this guy from Toronto. I mean, maybe hit me a couple home runs. It's like, he's already done that for you.
Oh, man. Baseball is just so weird sometimes. And one of the weird things here is that Bud Norris might actually be a closer now. He got a save after Cam Bedrosian was hurt. And look, it's a groin issue, so it's probably just going to be 10, maybe 20 days at most. But right now, I mean, if you need saves, Bud Norris is the guy to pick up, right?
Yeah, he really is. And I'm an Angels guy, so I know all about the depleted rotation and bullpen so far with this team. So, yeah, you mentioned it. Bedrosian, I mean, he's on the DL, and that's a positive that it's only a groin. People are asking me to draw, you know, should I drop him? No, you don't drop him, because when he comes back, he's going to get that job back. Because if you look at the Angels, at least what they did, a lot of their starters can't go deep into ballgames. And we've already seen it with Richards. I mean, he only had the one outing, but he wasn't projected to have any outings this year with over 100 pitches. They're treating Tyler Skaggs with kid gloves too, coming back from Tommy John surgery. Shav is, you know, a guy who's pitched out of the pen multiple times. How deep can he go? So a lot of these guys like Petit and Norris, they built their bullpen for them to pitch more than one inning. So I think Bud Norris is really set up to be a guy who's going to pitch a sixth and a seventh or a seventh and an eighth. But right now, you're right, he is the closer. So if you need saves, you go ahead and you pick him up. I mean, he already has a couple. I mean, he had one last Monday night against the Jays. So he is the guy. And Street was transferred to the 60-day DL, so it doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon. So you're right, baseball's weird, especially come April. It's strange. We see a lot of crazy stuff, but I've already grabbed him in one league where I'm missing out on some saves. So if you need him, you can't waste any time. You go ahead and you grab him.
I just feel dirty adding Bud Norris as my closer in fantasy baseball. Like, it just doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't. It's not. It's not right. But right now for the Angels and all the injuries that they have, and they're not only in the rotation, but in the bullpen, it's Socha doesn't have many options right now. And Norris is the one he's leaning on.
Something that does seem right to me is picking up Joey Gallo again, who's just been on fire lately, hitting bombs left and right. He's already got six of them. I think he's going to stick around and earn himself a full-time job. I don't know where it's going to be. Maybe he'll take over with Jurts and Profar in the outfield, but this bat, they can't send it back down to the minors, can they?
No, and I don't think so. The one concern I do have with him, he's still striking out a lot. I mean, 34.7% of the time, and you know, last year it was 63% of the time, and only 17 games, mind you, in 2016. And then in 2015, it was 46% of the time. So it looks like he's cutting back because, you know, he is, as crazy it is to say 34%, but you nailed it with Profar, because it's Profar right now who has a 135 average with no home runs. He had a 239 average last year, but in the second half of the season, in 172 plate appearances, he hit 166. This after a 323 start last season and 135 plate appearances in the first half. So he is just kind of, you know, gone downhill big time. So he just keeps regressing, and at least Gallo is hitting bombs. So he's got six home runs. So when Adrian Beltre comes back, you know, he's ramping up workouts, I've read. So he's eventually going to come back, and that third base spot is his. But for Gallo, I mean, he could DH. Maybe they put him back in left field. So there's a lot of, you know, opportunities for him. I mean, it's weird. A lot of the guys in Texas can really move around the field, and there's some options. But for Gallo, I look at Profar and I look at the struggles he's had, and I feel like, you know, listen, we'll just go with one of the two here, and it looks like it's Gallo. At least he's giving them something.
You're right. Yeah, don't be afraid to pick up Joey Gallo. I think he's gonna get himself 400 at bats this year, and if he does, he's hitting 30 home runs, because, you know, like it or not, he has a ton of power. He might bat 180, he might bat 220, but he has a ton of power, and that can help you one way or another.
Yeah, I think 30 home runs is a lock. If you give me 400 plate appearances, he's going to hit 25 to 30 home runs.
Somebody else who has been knocking the ball all out of the yard is Ryan Zimmerman. I never thought I would say that. I remember one of my friends drafted him in a league that I'm really passionate about, and I just kind of laughed at him. Like, there's no way this guy is going to be useful. Like, he should go undrafted. Here he is batting 350, seven homers, which is fourth in the league, and he looks great. Is this going to keep up? Like, is this just old Ryan Zimmerman coming back, or just a hot streak?
I think a little bit of both, and it's funny. A lot of people just have a thing for Ryan Zimmerman. I mean, he was traded last year at the start of the year in a package that involved Carlos Correa, and I thought the owner giving up Carlos Correa was just crazy, and he's like, yeah, Zimmerman. I'm like, what? This guy has just always been hurt, 32 years old, but it's not like this home run power, it's not a surprise, at least. I mean, 24 plus home runs and five times in his career. The numbers that jump out at you is the 409 ISO, the 419 BABIP. I mean, the almost 380 average, because you look at his career, it's a 192 ISO, it's a 310 BABIP, it's a 279 average. So he's a good ball player, and he's hitting in a great lineup. I mean, there's three teams in baseball that are top 10 in WOBA against lefties and righties. Nationals one of them, and he's hit behind Murphy, and he's hit behind Bryce Harper. So I can kind of get behind what he's doing, but he's also a sell-high candidate, because let's be real here. Zimmerman is not, unfortunately, I don't want to sit here and say that somebody's going to get hurt, but unfortunately, I just think that he will land on the DLs, because he's had numerous injuries. It just hasn't been a back. It's been a knee. It's been a hip. It's been a shoulder. It's been a lot of things with Ryan Zimmerman. So it's just him staying on the field, being healthy. The numbers are going to decline, but I think he can hit 20 to 25 home runs. And already, as you mentioned, seven, he already seems, you know, he's a third of the way there. So I think he can do that. But again, much like Thames, if I'm a Ryan Zimmerman owner, I'm seeing what I can get for him.
Chris, I want to step away for just a minute and give a quick message from the sponsor of today's show. I've been telling you about Draft. I've been playing it a ton lately. I just can't get enough of this snake draft. Every single day, I do a snake draft for my team, like the ones you do at the beginning of your season-long leagues. And if you play Daily Fantasy, it's time to join me. Check out Draft now. It only takes a few minutes to do your draft. We did a draft episode, a segment a few episodes ago, and I just whooped our guest, Dan Harris. It was an absolute blast. You can play for free. You can play for real money. Your chances of winning are almost 200% better than your chances of winning playing salary cap daily fantasy. So join me on Draft now. Just type in Draft in the App Store or on Google Play. It's going to come up first. And be sure to enter the promo code FANTASYPROS as you sign up. You're going to get a 100% deposit bonus. Again, that's Draft in the App Store. And be sure to enter the promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word. All right, back to some fantasy baseball. And I want to talk about Michael Conforto. It seems like just the other day, everyone was talking about how this is the next superstar. He's got a great bat. But they just can't get him on the field every day because they've got all these pieces in the Mets outfield. He's earning full-time plate appearances. He looks great. Do you still think that he can be a superstar, or was that just a little bit too much hype back then? And are they going to start giving him enough playing time?
I think they will give him the playing time. I don't know about a superstar. It's weird with these New York prospects. I feel like sometimes they get more hype than what they deserve. But, I mean, when he came onto the scene, he was good. He was really good. 9 home runs, 194 plate appearances, and we see a little bit more from him. Some struggles, of course, last season, but really in AAA, he turned it around, and we saw him back up in the bigs. I think he's somebody who can hit you 20 home runs. I don't think he's a 300 hitter. I mean, he's tearing the cover off the ball right now, and a 364 average, 4 home runs to start the season. But, you know, Granderson and Cespedes, I mean, those guys are going to play every day, right? I mean, I feel like they are. So it doesn't leave much options for Conforto. But as of right now, I mean, I've already seen him in some spots at the top of the order, which is positive news, getting on base. So, I mean, I think he profiles to me this year as like a 270 hitter and 20 home runs. And I think with how...
He's a nice ball player.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's certainly worthy of a roster spot in fantasy and in somebody's lineup. And talking about the Mets, I mean, they need it, right? They've gone through a ton of injuries so far to start the season. Let's see Conforto play over a full year, and let's see him, you know, even when he does struggle, to see if he can work out some of the kinks. So I can get behind him. I think, you know, he's definitely rosterable in like a 12-team league. He's certainly, and he's available. Not a lot of people are really buying into him.
I moved him up quite a bit in my rest of the season rankings, just a little bit behind Steven Piscotty. They're the same type of player. And as you remember, Piscotty was going about 120 in drafts. So Michael Conforto has raised his draft stock as much as virtually anyone who's not named Eric Thames or Dylan Bundy, in my opinion. He looks like a good one. Now, someone else that I think has raised their draft stock, and it's really weird to say this because Billy Hamilton's OPS is below 600, but he's on pace to steal 81 bases right now.
I know, he's unreal. I remember writing an article before when we saw him, what was it, like 13 games, he stole 13 bases, and I think it was in 2013, and I was like, this next year, this guy is stealing 100 bags. And I was partially joking, but more so I wanted to get the hits. But man, this guy is, we probably will see him flirt with 100 stolen bases in a season if he can, you know, walk a little bit more. The strikeouts are down. He's still walking the same. You want to see him get on base a little bit more. You know, if he can get an average up near 270, then how many stolen bases can this guy actually steal? As you said, he's on pace for 81, and he's flirted with 60 the past 2 years, and he hasn't even played full seasons in those years. I mean, 460 plate appearances, 119 games, and 58 stolen bases. The year before that, very, very similar numbers across the board. So if this guy can just stay healthy and continue to maybe just take a more patient, you know, a more patient approach, I think we'll see that. I mean, he's still kind of young, 26 years old. I think you're right. He 81 is, it's crazy to think about, but it's not out of reach with him.
You know, if he bats 270 and plays 145 games, I guarantee he steals 100 bases. The problem is the 270. I mean, he's probably going to bat about 230.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to play 120, 130 games because he plays so hard that he's going to get hurt. But I'll tell you what, while you got him on your roster, man, you were just cleaning up in steals.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it. He didn't go that early in drafts. A lot of people are just like, hey, he's a one-category guy. I mean, why do I want him? And for stolen bases, I mean, if you're in a roto league, I mean, you're loving it. If you have this guy, I mean, you're probably going to finish the season with the most stolen bases. So it's... What I've seen from him so far, I love. When he gets on the bases, man, he steals, and it's a given, and everybody knows it, and there's nothing he could do. He gets the leg twitching. If you watch him, I mean, he's that right leg is just twitching, and he's ready to go, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Now, somebody that's just been amazing me, frankly, I have to admit, this is another one I was wrong on in the preseason. I was really low on Chris Sale because what I saw in the second half last year did not look like an ace. He was going backwards in virtually every way I could think of. And this is the best version of Chris Sale that I've ever seen. Do you think that he's the favorite to win the AL Cy Young Award right now?
Yeah, I mean, Absolutely.
He looks so good.
He's so, so good. I mean, the 33.3 strikeout to minus walk ratio, it's unbelievable. I mean, the 12 K per nine is the highest it's been since his rookie year, and he pitched out of the pen in that first year in 2010. So the strain rate's a little bit high, but the swinging strike rate is fantastic right now. But the thing is when the strain rate's high, I mean, he just has those pitches. He can get guys out, and he can get out of jams. He's just not getting the run support right now. That's the only thing he's not getting, because he'd be a perfect, you know, four wins on the season if he got the run support that we expect, and at least I expect the Red Sox to give him this season. So this was surprisingly, you know what, I was all about Chris Sale. I mean, drafted him FSTA draft. I got a lot of flack about that. And it's not like I took him as pitcher 3, 4, 5 off the board. I believe it was like 6 or 7 at that
point. I would have laughed at you.
And yeah, and because because if you look at last year, you're right. You look at last year, you look at some of the numbers. He was pitching to contact. You know, he was getting away from some of his pitches. And, you know, he's talking about, instead of, you know, having outings where I have 11 to 13 strikeouts and I don't get to the eighth inning, I want to get to the eighth and then the ninth inning. I want to go deeper into ball games. And maybe I thought that's why he was changing his approach a little bit. But right now, the K per nine is back highest, as I said, like we've ever seen from him. So fantastic stuff. Let's see how it plays out. But for owners that have Chris Sale, I mean, I wouldn't be selling him. I'm a believer.
Now, somebody else who's striking out a ton of people, Danny Salazar, is striking out over 14 per nine innings. This is absurd.
It's nuts. 35.6% strikeout rate, second highest in baseball. 9K per 9 and 10K per 9, we've seen that before with him in the past, and he's got fantastic stuff. He really does. The only thing negative that you can say about him is he walks guys. He's walking, you know, 10% of the time. He's walking somebody that's 20th in baseball among qualified guys, 4 per 9 last year, again, 4 per 9 this year. That's the only negative that you can say. I mean, even the FIP's at 2.03. The ERA is almost at 5. So he's getting a little bit unlucky. Yeah. But for Salazar, I think you and I talked about him before, the one time that we did a show together, and we liked him. We loved where he was going in drafts. The strikeout potential is there. I don't know. He's not going to stay at 14, but he's a double-digit K per 9 guy, and we'll see that the rest of the way from him.
Chris, what is wrong with Kevin Gausman? You talk about people who are walking a bunch of players, and Kevin Gausman is like the king of that right now, and he's getting hit so hard.
He's getting hit really hard. You're right. Another guy who has a much lower FIP, but the problem is the ERA is at 7. It's the 6th biggest gap, I guess positive gap, 5.76 FIP. You're right. He's walking everybody, 5.63 walks per 9. The Ks are down a little bit after back-to-back seasons of 8. And you know what? I mean, looking at his competition, you know, he faced the Jays twice, and the Jays lineup, they're striking out all the time. I mean, they have the 6th most strikeouts in all of baseball. So I have some concerns with Gausman. I thought he'd take that step forward, and but it's Bundy who's taking that step forward, not him. And I'm just looking at his numbers. I'm trying to figure it out. He throws a fastball a little bit less, the slider more, the splitter only 10.8% of the time. Last year, it was much higher, and it's been at 16.7% at least 16.7 for 4 straight years. So maybe that's a pitch that he hasn't yet had a feel for. I'm not really sure. I need to see more from Gausman. But for right now, it's the command, and that's a concern, especially in your pitching at Camden Yards and inside the AL East division. It's a big-time concern.
Another AL East pitcher with command issues is Blake Snell. He was so good in the minors 2 years ago, minor league pitcher of the year. He comes up, and now he's got these horrible command issues. I don't know what's going on, but his ERA is sitting there at like 3.4 or something.
Yeah.
That is definitely going backwards. I would not pick up Blake Snell if he's available. I would sell him if you have him, because people are going to see that ERA and not realize that he is looking horrible right now. I'm avoiding Blake Snell at all costs.
Yeah, and it's a good call, Bobby. I mean, you mentioned the ERA. The FIP is, you know, over 2 points higher, 5.45. The K per 9. I want to see more from this guy. I mean, that's all a lot of people talk about Snell. It's like, oh, another great Rays pitching prospect. Well, I haven't seen it yet. I mean, the K per 9 was at 6 last year. It's at 6 this year. 5 walks per 9 in 89 innings pitched last season, and already a 16.1 walk percentage. It's the highest in baseball. He is struggling with his command. And again, much like Gausman, and you talked about it, the AL East, this is not a division where you want to to be putting guys on base. It's exactly where you get into trouble. And so far, I know with Pat Mayo, we're in a league of legends. We're into like baseball, football, and basketball. We have Snell in our team.
Oh, that's beautiful.
We need to get rid of him right now. And the problem is probably is, you know, you can't sell him. I mean, you want to hope that because you're not going to really get anything from him. So it's almost like a drop. You want to maybe you just wait it out a couple more outings, see if he can kind of turn it around, and then you can just go ahead and flip. But you're right, it's regression that's coming here. So if you can, you know, maybe you can just sweet talk him a little bit as a prospect. Is hey, Tampa always finds these guys and he'll turn it around. He's had outings before where he looks legit and he throws those double digit strikeout games at you. And then, but right now, I mean, it's a struggle. Low BABIP too. I mean, so nothing is really going his way right now.
You know, I'm waiting it out with Byron Buxton. So I mean, maybe I'm just so afraid to admit that I was completely wrong on him. But
man,
if I can wait it out on Buxton, you can wait out on Snell.
I'm waiting it out on Buxton too, and I don't know how much longer I can, but I don't know what's wrong with that guy, man. He was labeled.
It's like the Josh Gordon dynasty owners in football who have been waiting it out for 4 years now.
Yeah, no kidding. I'd like to see him turn it around. I mean, I was really discouraged last week or the week before. Minnesota's playing in Detroit. They were down 2-0. They go into the ninth. They get a run, they have runners on, and he comes up to the plate and they pinch hit for like Kepler. I'm just like, are you kidding me? And a Kepler first pitch pop up. I'm like, just give him a chance here.
Byron Buxton would hit a grand slam.
Yeah.
Even if there weren't three people on base, still would have been a grand slam.
Exactly.
The last guy I want to talk about before we get into some trivia, which is going to be fun, Justin Verlander. He's had command issues as well. I mean, he was almost the Cy Young Award winner last year. Is he done now? Is there something wrong with him? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm willing to be a little bit more patient with Verlander just because of the pedigree and what we saw last year. I don't think he was as good as last year. Last year was a big-time surprise to me. And then you look at the core muscle surgery, and it's like, okay, maybe you know he just needed that surgery and some time off to figure it out. But this is another guy, I mean, to look at the ERA, it's at 6. It was at 3.04 last year. I don't think he can get back to that number. The Ks, the strikeouts are down, only 8 K per 9, but at least it's not 6. 8 is okay, but it's someone who had 10 last year. But the walks have almost doubled. That's a concern. He gave up 30 home runs last season, even in a good year. So, you know, he's a fly ball pitcher. He's still going to give up some bombs. And another guy, like I'm trying to figure out when I look at Gausman and the pitches, he's throwing the changeup 4% of the time. He was 8-9 the last 2 years. It's been double digits the past few years and that. So I'm not really sure what's going on here. But for Verlander, it's only been a handful of starts. I do have some concerns, is why I didn't draft him. He was going too high for me. But let's see if he can turn it around because he can help you out in terms of strikeouts, but he needs to keep those walks down. I mean, because you know, like the home runs are going to come. He's already given up 3.
Talking about the Tigers, it reminded me of something else, Chris. I've been getting all these emails about Joe Jimenez, the relief pitcher, closer in waiting that the Tigers just called up, asking if people should pick him up because I'm pretty excited about Joe Jimenez. I've been telling all of them, no, hold on, hold your horses. Like, it's not time to pick up Jimenez. I think he will be the closer at some point this year because they've been grooming him for it, but I think he has a long way to go. He has a lot to prove at this point. The general rule of thumb is use my playbook. I don't know if you guys listening use this, but it's a free tool. I think the best tool that we offer besides Draft Wizard. You can upload your team in like 3 seconds, and then it gives you all the information right at your fingertips. You've got like a team of experts in your back pocket, and it tells you what the experts say. The experts are not saying pick up Joe Jimenez right now, and I trust all those experts. I mean, that's why we have the tools the way we do is because we think that they work. And I would recommend my playbook to anyone. So if you haven't already, just take like 2 seconds, upload your team to my playbook. It's going to give you all the information for your league and help you out a ton. Chris, let's move on over to the trivia section to close this out. And this is always really fun for me. I like to make the questions hard enough that when you get it right, you feel really good about yourself. So maybe you'll get one or two. If you get 3 or 4, we need to like celebrate or something because these are going to be tough. Let's start out with the current day trivia. First question, which MLB team is leading the league for catcher's OPS at a whopping 1.075? That's incredible, by the way. Is it the Marlins, the Royals, the Brewers, or the Giants?
That's a good one. I was originally going to say Brewers. because I was looking today, it's just some of their splits, and I just see Jet Bandy just getting things done. I'll go Brewers, but part of me thinks it could be Marlins. I'll go Brewers.
Yeah, you're right. It is the Brewers. JT Realmuto has been awesome.
Yeah.
But Manny Pena and Jet Bandy, both of them, are the two best offensive catchers in baseball right now. And they're splitting time. I never saw this coming. I don't trust either of them whatsoever. There's no way I would pick either of them up. But they're staring at me on the waiver wires. And, man, I just can't believe what they're doing.
I know. And for Jet Bandy, it's funny. I could actually get behind him in a two-catcher league with some of the injuries and some of the struggles. But, I mean, again, I don't feel great about it. I mentioned earlier that it was an Angels guy. So I know that he has power. I do see the power in his bat, but I don't think that this is going to keep up. The only reason I knew this number is because I'm looking at the team and how well they do against lefties. But on the flip side, that they strike out the second most against lefties. It's like Villar is striking out a lot, VR. But it's Thames that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, he's moving him up the list all by himself.
Yeah, I know. But it's been Thames and Braun and Bandy who have been hitting lefties. So. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not going to keep up, but Realmuto is legit.
Question number two for you here, Chris. Which of these four players is the youngest? Matt Davidson, Mike Trout, Aledmys Diaz, or Mitch Haniger?
I don't know how old Matt Davidson is. Who's the fourth guy? You said Trout, Davidson.
Trout, Davidson, Aledmys Diaz, and Mitch Haniger.
I'll go with Diaz.
It is, you're really close. You're 6 days away. So you've got these two rookies, Matt Davidson, Mitch Haniger. You've got Aledmys Diaz, who was called up last year. Mike Trout's the youngest of all those guys. He's been in the league for like 20 years, it seems like.
And I just talked about how I'm an Angels guy. And I didn't even know that. Yeah, I know. I knew Trout was 25, but and I knew Haniger had spent some time before, a lot of years in the minors, I do believe. So, yeah, it's a little bit surprising there.
Mike Trout he's just so remarkable. Like, if he stays healthy, he's going to be one of the best five players of all time.
All time.
It's just, it's going to happen. I mean, he's way better than Ken Griffey Jr. was when everyone was saying he might be one of the best ever.
Yeah, he's putting up ridiculous numbers. I mean, him and Harper, Harper's, 24, and they're both just unbelievable. But for Trout, who's put it together now, you know, at least five straight years with him. And I watched every single Angels game, and I was an Angels fan before he jumped, before he was on the team. I saw the struggles in 2011, and then I see 2012, and just his real first full season in the league. And you know, he's making adjustments, too. I mean, this is a guy who struck out a lot earlier on in his career. He couldn't hit the high fastball.
He was like Byron Buxton back in his rookie year.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? And Torrey Hunter, who was with Trout, called Buxton Trout 2.0. And that's why I think I was so excited about Buxton. Ooh. I'm waiting to see this because, you know, he went from L.A. and went back to Minnesota and had a lot of positive things to say about Buxton and compared the two of them. But for Trout, I mean, he adjusted at that high fastball. This is somebody who never swung at first pitches. And so far this season, I'm seeing him take advantage of that because last year, it was the first pitch down the pipe, and he didn't swing at it, and he's making adjustments. It's not pitchers adjusting to him. He's a phenomenal ball player, and it's really fun to see.
All right, Chris, now two history questions, and this is where it gets really tough. So there's been 15 seasons in MLB history with at least 100 extra base hits. That's an incredible amount. The last time it happened was in 2001 when four players did it. Who's the only person who's ever hit 50 homers and 50 doubles in the same season, though? Is it Lou Gehrig, Chuck Klein, Todd Helton, or Albert Bell?
Ooh, good question. Damn. Is it Bell?
It is Albert Bell. You're amazing. How did you know that?
It's just a guess, man. It was a guess. I knew that he hit 50 home runs, and I wasn't sure about if the other guys had.
50 doubles and 50 homers in the same season.
Yeah, with the Indians,
there's hitters,
right?
Who would be thrilled to get 100 hits in a season.
I know.
Let alone 100 extra base hits.
I know. Albert Bell, I knew that he was a big doubles guy, and I know, I think he had a couple more seasons where he flirted with 50 home runs. I'm not 100% sure with that, but I know with the Indians, I think he had 50, and then there may have been another season shortly after that where he almost had 50 again.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, Barry Bonds never even hit like 40 doubles in a season.
Yeah, you said
Mark McGwire never even
walking.
Hit like 30 or something crazy like that. Albert Bell hit 50 and 50.
Okay, final question. We won't see that again, I don't think. think.
Yeah, I really don't think so either. Maybe Joey Gallo. We'll see about that. Joey Gallo's good, man. You know, something I found really interesting on this list of the 15 players that reached 100, every single player did it between the ages of 24 and 27, except during the steroid era when Bonds did it at 36 and Sosa and Luis Gonzalez, of all people, did it at 32 and 33.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, well, there's that narrative out there that, you know, once you get to that age 27 season, you really start to see that power grow with ball players. And that's kind of, I look at that. I'm a believer in that. Once you get to that, you know, in between 24 and 27, you really see that spike in power. And it's, I guess it's hard to maintain that.
Yeah. Okay. Final question here. Before 1920, there were 27 pitchers who had a single season WAR above 12. That's a ton. That is an absolute ton, okay? Only one pitcher's done it since then. Who was it? Pedro Martinez, Dwight Gooden, Bob Gibson, or Zach Greinke?
Oh, this is a trick question. I'm going to go with Gooden. I'll go with the Doc.
It is Dwight Gooden, and he did it as a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, his numbers, phenomenal, and you're right. In that season as a 20-year-old, off the charts. And I know that just from doing baseball and history. I used to do This Day in Baseball History, and I looked up a lot of his numbers before in the past, and just unbelievable stuff from him.
For what it's worth, Zach Greinke is number one for active pitchers, and it wasn't the season where he had like a 1.7 ERA. It was actually a couple seasons before that when he had a 2.16 ERA. Zach Greinke had a really good career.
Yeah, and I thought that's when I said trick question, I thought that maybe it was Greinke. I thought it was a possibility that it
Yeah, that's why
him.
I put him in there, was trying to trick him. Man, you got three of them, Chris. That's really good.
Beginner's luck, bro. Yeah. If you throw four more questions at me, I don't think I'd get any, but hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, all right, Chris. Well, that's all we have for you today. Really appreciate you coming on the show again. It was a blast, as always, and looking forward to chatting with you again.
All right, thanks a lot, Bobby.
Take care. For those of you listening at home, we've got another show coming up this week. Subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. And remember, upload your team to My Playbook. It's really going to help you out this fantasy baseball season. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your baseball. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.